I'd like you to take your Bibles and open up to the book of 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. I felt in my heart that I had wanted to just read this passage with you, and it was kind of an extension of what I believe the Lord was saying to us yesterday. And and then our brother Paul got up and he quoted the verse. And so I believe God is after something in all of us. A deeper cleansing. So we'll begin at the 14th verse of the 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will dwell in them, I will walk in them. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." What a wonderful call that is, this call of separation, of coming out from the world, coming out from the things that defile. But it's a call not only to separation, but it's a call to fellowship. Do you see that? The one side of it is separation. The one side is of letting go and letting things go that maybe hinder us. But the other side is it brings that separation, brings us into fellowship, into union with the very Son of God. God says, "I will live with you. I will be in you. I will be your God. You will be my people." And that's the wonderful call. It's like that little story that Brother Fogel gave us last week about the pearls. I know many of you weren't here, and he talked about a little girl who wanted a little set of pearls from the dime store. And so her mother counted the money that she had, and they were able to buy these little set of pearls, the fake pearls, for a few bucks. And she cherished those little pearls, though. They were precious to her. But one day her father came into her room when he was going to tuck her in and read and pray and put her to sleep. And he said, "Honey, give me your pearls." And she said, "No, Daddy, those are my pearls. They're precious to me, Daddy. Anything but not my pearls. You can have my teddy bear. You can have this and the other thing, but not my pearls." And, well, you know how the story is going to end, right? One night he came in, and he did that night after night. One night he came in, and she was crying, and she gave her father. He said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Because I want to give you my pearls, Daddy. I know that you love me." And so what did he do? He took the pearls, but what did he give her in return? Well, in his pocket, he had a jewelry case, and inside there were real, genuine pearls. The real thing. And sometimes we hold on to things that have no real value. And we think we need them. We think they bring us pleasure. They bring us satisfaction. And yet they rob us of the great treasure that we have in Jesus. Being filled with Him, walking with Him, loving Him. And that's the call, I believe, here. But it goes on. So it goes on. You see, it ends with that. But there's no chapter breaks in the Bible. I mean, really, right? I mean, someone came and did that afterwards. But in Paul's letter, what does it say right after that? After that great call of God Almighty, it says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And that's the verse our brother Paul quoted in his testimony this morning, his exhortation to us. That God would cleanse us. "Lord, cleanse me from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and fill me with your Holy Spirit." A prayer that we can pray. "Lord, cleanse me from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and fill me
with your Holy Spirit. Cause me to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Hallelujah. And that's been the call that has gone out in this camp over the years. Called unto holiness, children of light, walking with Jesus in garments of white, raiment unsullied and tarnished with sin, God's Holy Spirit abiding within. Hallelujah. I like the other verse also that says, not my own righteousness, but Christ within, living and reigning and saving from sin. And the Holy Spirit is given to put Jesus upon the throne of your heart. He comes, he becomes your king. And so we want to open our hearts in these days to receive him. Hallelujah. As a young person, I had the privilege not only to be a camper, to be a worker here at camp, and had the privilege to know the gardeners for a little part of my life. And I included in your little booklet here an article that Brother Gordon wrote. Maybe it was a message that he brought. But it's connected with this text that we just read, and he makes reference to it. And so I thought this morning it would be good if we just read this. We don't have a lot of time this morning. I just did want to say one other thing. I had mentioned yesterday, for those of you who were with us in Sunday afternoon, that Brother Gordon had written a number of books, and I showed you the picture of Sister Robinson, and this book was written by Brother Gordon. It's called Radiant Glory. It's the story of Martha Wing Robinson, and I believe there are some available in the boathouse. And it's a little bit thick, right? Well, Brother Paul's working on a little bit of bridge version. He's doing the Reader's Digest version for us. And we'll see how that comes out soon. But it's something that you ought to pick up. Don't be discouraged by the thickness. There's life here. There's light. There's glory. Read it. And then I had just a few other things, maybe some lesser known things that he wrote. And this is only a few. This is the story of Philip Morrow. It's called Champion of the Kingdom. Philip Morrow was a lawyer that, a well-known international patent lawyer that God saved and used for his kingdom. But one of the interesting things about this was he was on the ship. Now, I can't know if I'm going to say the name right. You know the Titanic?
Carpathia.
Yes, the ship that came at the distress call of the Titanic. He was on that ship that night. So now you really want to read it, right? Okay. And then here's something else that I was going to share. As many of you know, we were supposed to be here till Saturday, and we need to go home today. But this was one of the books I was going to share a little bit with you when we got to our readings on the Holy Spirit. But he wrote, Brother Gordon wrote a little book called Concerning Spiritual Gifts, and gives an explanation of the different gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, that are gifts of the Spirit. So if that's something you're interested in, here's the book that you should pick up and read. And he had firsthand experience of the operation of these gifts. And so it's a very a good book, not only information, but it shows us the way. And the way is love. Did you know that? The way is love. And then the article that we have this morning that we're going to read, it was taken from this little booklet, which is a publication of Ridgewood Pentecostal Church, for their 75th anniversary. And, you know, from time to time I go back to these messages. There's another book, a golden book, that was at the 50th anniversary. And I find that, you know, the Lord has called us to walk a certain way. He's given certain light. And he gave us a man like Brother Gordon and others who put those things down for us so that we could have it and that we could go back and refer to it. I firmly believe we're not going to be able to continue on in the path that God has called us to walk in unless we know where we've come from. And you can look back and you see the light there and the marker, so to speak, and we continue on. walking in a straight path, wanting Jesus to be everything to us. So, again, some of these writings are, like I said, in the bookstore. If you want others, maybe you can see Brother Paul. But all of these things are available to us, and I believe they're there to help us. And now if you just take this, we'll just read this in closing. It's called The Great Promise of God. The power of God is just the same today. We can each read a paragraph, whoever would like to, but let's do it quickly. All right, yes, go ahead.
Usually, when people sing this chorus, they think of it in connection with divine healing, that Jesus Christ is able and willing and ready to heal the sick. That is certainly the truth. Then, too, this chorus brings to mind the verse, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, which has also become especially connected with divine healing, and rightly so. Thank God for this. The truth stated in this chorus and this verse extends far beyond healing for the body. The power of God is the same of a song from which this chorus is taken. It was written by a man who had been marvelously healed of epilepsy, and he wrote the song out of his own experience. But if you read all 11 verses of the song, you will see that he applies it to many different situations, beginning with Abraham and Sarah. He goes right through the Bible to Paul and Silas, telling how people were delivered by the power of God in their trials. And, of course, the chorus comes after each verse.
Let's read that together. The power of God is just the same today. It doesn't matter what the people say. Whatever God has promised, He's able to perform. And the power of God is just the same today. Just a little aside, you know, the little boy who came home from Sunday school, and he sang it this way. The power of God is just the same today. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. All right. Brother Kenny, next paragraph. Glad you're here, brother. Yes, but.
But I would like to ask, what really is the great promise of God? Perhaps first of all, we think of the promise of the Father. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. The promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Is it too bad? It is too bad that Pentecost as a whole has limited that promise simply to speaking in tongues. Certainly much more is included than speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is included, to be sure, but that is a small part of the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father includes far more than that. In the book of Hebrews, we read of another promise. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. This experience, of course, is included in the promise of the Father. And then we think of that marvelous promise in John 14:21, which some have felt is the greatest promise in the whole Bible. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. In this verse, we are given a sight of what the promise of the Father includes. God's Spirit has not come to indwell us simply to make us speak in tongues, or to shout, or to sing, or to prophesy, or to dance. God does all those things, and we thank Him for every manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But the promise of the Father goes beyond these blessings and manifestations, precious as they are.
Thank you. Next.
There is still another promise, which in reality says the same thing as the three already referred to. It is found in 2 Corinthians 6:16. I will dwell in them and walk in them. What mighty words. And then the Lord goes on to say, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I know that you can take this promise in a poetic sense. If you do, you won't get much out of it. But if you will really believe this word of God, you will find that He will begin to make changes in you.
Hallelujah.
Now this is connected with the first verse of the 7th chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What wonderful promises we find in the preceding verses. Have you become acquainted with them? Do you know them? Do you take them to your own heart personally? Do you say, God, this is a word to me?
Did you ever stop to think that to whom these exceeding great and precious promises were written? They were given to the Corinthians, some of whom, at least, the Apostle Paul refers to as carnal. Because of this, many have automatically classed all the members of the Corinthian church as carnal, ignoring Paul's other statement, "In everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge." Without question, while there were carnal Christians in Corinth, there were also those who were spiritual, those who were reaching out after the deep things of God.
But whatever they were, then carnal or spiritual, the fact is that some of them had come out of deep sin. You have only to read the list of their sins as found in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And you will see how deep in sin many of these people had been. But then, in the same passage, the apostle goes on to say, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord."
Hallelujah.
"By the Holy Spirit of our God."
Hallelujah.
Sometimes when people read and hear about the promises of God, they say, or at least think, "Oh, those are for the preachers. They are for old saints, for people who can pray all the time. I never could attain to anything like that." But it was to the Corinthian church, the Corinthian Christians, that the Holy Ghost saw fit to give these exceeding great and precious promises. So if you feel that such promises are beyond you, remember, you are certainly not one whit worse than the Christians in Corinth had been. You couldn't possibly be. But it was to them, ordinary members of the congregation, that God saw fit to give these marvelous words of the promise. So there is hope for every one of us. Human nature is just the same whether it is in Corinth or in New York City. Men and women are fundamentally the same everywhere. And isn't it marvelous that God holds out these same promises to every one of us? "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people."
I thank God for the privilege of knowing quite a number of people who have entered into the experience spoken of here. They followed the promise of God and received it. Many of those connected with the origin of this work are among them: Elder and Mrs. Brooks, Mrs. Judd, Mrs. Robinson, Mr. and Mrs. Wanamaker, and Hans Waldfogel. And I would like to add that they were among the happiest, friendliest, kindest, and most interesting people in the world. But God has lived in them, walked in them, and talked through them. Thank God for these examples which our eyes have seen. They have encouraged us to know that the promise of God is attainable, that it is for all and any of us who will meet the conditions. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's read the bold together. Is God asking you to come out from something? Is he asking you to separate yourself from something or someone? Are you cleansing yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit? Are you perfecting holiness in your life? There is nothing, and there is no one in this world that can compare with the glory that shall be revealed to those who will indeed come out and separate and cleanse themselves. We have seen the glory of God revealed in saints below, and I tell you, whatever price God may ask you to pay, the result is more than worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our hearts before God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, make me clean. Make me clean, dear Lord. Oh, God, oh, God. Someone pray with us, please.
Hallelujah, Jesus, praise your glorious name. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning Jesus, thank you for your sanctification, that you cleanse us, you redeem us, you make us new. Jesus, I thank you so much that you pick us up when we're down. You fix our hearts, you give us a new life with you. God, thank you so much for that love, that joy you give in our hearts. Lord, I praise you. I give you all the glory, and I pray that you bless the remainder of this day. You bless all the children. You let them have an amazing time here.
Yes,
they
Lord.
Get to see you. They could seek you here, Jesus. They could feel your presence, get to know you, so we could know you even more, Jesus. Just cleanse us from all our fleshly desires.
Yes, Lord.
From our
yes, Lord.
Evil that is in our heart, Jesus.
Oh,
we're all
God.
Born into sin.
Oh, God.
But you
oh,
redeem
God.
Us and you sanctify us. And once again, I thank you and praise you. May you get all the glory. Jesus, you alone deserve all the glory. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, Jesus,
praise the Lord. Often my heart longed to pray.
Sinner, so what could I say? Then I was told of the blood-cleansing way, opened by Jesus alone.
Number 7.
I found the way through the blood cast a veil to the Holy of Holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail, I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Son at the Father's right hand. There I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me. Righteousness now I have found, Calvary's blessings abound. Flood way I'm on solid ground of Christ's merits alone. I found the way through the blood, past the veil to the Holy of Holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail, I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me.
Let's stand together. We'll sing verse 4.
Asking I now may receive, seeking I know he'll relieve. Knocking I get, for I take and believe. Jesus is praying for me. I found a way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail, I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. God, won't you come, Lord? Come to us this morning, dear God. Come to us this morning, oh, God. We want to be your children, Lord. We want you to be our God, dear Lord. We want you to have your way, my God. Hallelujah. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you to do those things which are well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Excuse me, Pastor Phil. I know you're leaving, so we prepared something for you to take to Brother Gordon and Sister Martha, who were unfortunately couldn't make it. I'm very thankful to know you and your parents, and I'm sorry that they weren't here this year. I was looking forward to seeing them. And last year I got to play in the library my guitar with Brother Gordon and sing a few hymns. And so he told me that I should play in service once, and we wish to play something for you to bring back to your parents. May we?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
You may be seated.
If any of you know, feel free to sing along.
Sing now. Johanna, sing.
Someone. Who knows the words? One verse at least.
I do.
You do? Sing then.
I'll try and sing it for you.
Okay.
All right. Let's see.
One verse pick, Chuck. Sing.
All right.
God bless you.